Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The Burt Show.
There's nothing that gets my heart pumping quite like some hot gossip. And it's come to my attention after binging a ton of history documentaries over the past couple of weeks that history really is just gossip. And so I've introduced a new segment that I call Ye Old Gossip. Except it's not as ye old as the last one was. Last week, we talked about the history between Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and their bromance that turned awry during the election of 1800. But it's come to my attention that the term friend of Dorothy is not as wide known as I thought it was. I thought this was a common phrase most people used to refer to someone who is a part of the LGBTQ plus community. And so it turns out it has a longstanding history, and actually the term launched one of the darkest periods in U.S. military history.
What?
I'm about to spill the ye olde gossip on this.
I can't wait to hear the tie-in on this, man. We're going full circle.
So today, if you want to kind of suss out if maybe somebody's a part of the community, you just ask them, who is mother? And if they respond, Lady Gaga, is probably a good sign. But starting in the 1940s, if you wanted to find out if somebody was a part of the Alphabet Army, you would ask if they were a friend of Dorothy. And the friend of Dorothy question became a way for people in the LGBTQ plus community to identify each other. So you'd be out at a bar and you would ask, are you a friend of Dorothy? And if they responded yes, or even knew what you were talking about, they were also in the community.
Ew.
So if they were like, Dorothy who?
You're like, oh, yeah, you know Dorothy. Yeah. But in the 1980s, Dorothy would be used to launch a witch hunt, not to go after the Wicked Witch of the West, but to target members of the LGBTQ plus community in the military. So a quick backstory of what friend of Dorothy means. So it dates back to at least World War II. And there are two theories. There's one theory that it stands for Dorothy Parker, who was kind of like the original Liza Minnelli, but instead of being a singer, she was a socialite, and she was known for opening up her doors to the community. But the more popular theory is that actually Dorothy is a reference to Dorothy Gale from The Wizard of Oz, because a lot of the movie has themes that many members of the LGBTQ plus community identify with. So at one point, the big military people were like, there's way too much Cher being played around in the barracks. The gays have got to go. They are messing up the alpha bro vibes. So in 1919, they launched an investigation in Newport, Rhode Island, where they would entrap gay men into intimate compromising situations so that they could convict them. And I'm sure you're like, Abby, that sounds like entrapment.
Abby, that sounds like entrapment.
And I hope they learned their lesson and never did it again. Are you you're not going to repeat it this time?
No.
Okay. That was your cue.
That was a one and done.
Yeah, wrong, because history literally repeated itself in 1980 again. So in 1980, a guy named Mel Dahl was openly gay and enlisted in the Navy. So like if he was a Gen Zer today and his Instagram bio would be like a little boat and then a little rainbow sign to be like, I've got pride for my country and pride for my identity as well.
And then a he slash him.
Yeah, and then his pronouns. Mm-hmm. And then he was kicked out a year later for being gay. So then he goes to the media and he's like, y'all are gonna want to see this. The Great Lakes military base might as well be the Land of Oz, because there's all these friends of Dorothy skipping down each other's yellow brick roads. So the U.S. Navy launched an investigation.
Oh my gosh, Abigail.
And they would use the phrase friend of Dorothy to tell members of the Navy that they suspected were gay to catch them. But here's the funny thing. So the Navy thought Dorothy was a code for a real life woman who was some kind of information hub for gay men to find other gay men. So while they were definitely looking to incriminate these Navy guys so they could kick them out, they were also looking for this elusive Dorothy. So obviously they couldn't find Dorothy, even though they went to really great lengths to find her. So for example, the Navy would use entrapment tactics where they would recruit undercover agents to get men to reveal their sexual orientation or engage, wink, wink, in behavior that would incriminate them. So when this came out, this was incredibly controversial because it's hypocritical. Because you got all these agents who are like, what? I have to do what with these men for the military to figure out like if these people are gay? But then you also have another group of agents who are essentially being coerced into all of this behavior that they don't want to engage in by the military. So it's basically like sex work that's being sanctioned by the Navy. So it wasn't until the 90s that any president really did anything to protect gay members of the military. So Don't Ask, Don't Tell was enacted in 93, but that doesn't mean there wasn't discrimination. So gay men were targeted, obviously, from, you know, the early days, but all the way up until 2011 when it was repealed. But it wasn't just gay men. It was lesbian women as well. And they would use stereotypes like if they were really into softball or really into basketball to launch an investigation on these women, which is absolutely crazy. So then the ACLU condemned all these investigations. The military faced so much public criticism. And finally, in 2011, it was repealed. And our LGBTQ plus friends could serve and serve the country as well openly. And that is your ye olde gossip
crazy.
For the week.
I had zero idea.
Now you know.
Now we know.
Zero idea.
The Burt Show.
Is it weird to have two kids with the same name?
We asked you guys that yesterday, and we asked you guys to go online for a quick poll to see if that's odd or not. What were the details behind this yesterday? Because it wasn't like full blood, right?
No, they would be half siblings. Right. It would be Charlie 1.0 and Charlie 2.0. So Burt Show listener hit us up. She's pregnant. Yay! Expecting a baby boy with her husband. She wants to name their baby boy Charles. It is her father's name. It's her grandfather's name. This is a legacy name in their family, and that's why she wants to name him Charles. But funnily enough, her husband was married before her, and is from his first marriage. He has a 17-year-old son who's named Charles.
Okay.
He goes by Charlie. So
the two Chucks.
Yep. So he is adamant, absolutely not. That is weird. I don't want to have two kids with the same name. Plus, it will upset my ex-wife, the mother of my first child, and I just don't want any part of it. And she was like, he's 17, he's off to college, he's not in the house, it won't be confusing, and this is a family name, so why would I not use it? Why can we not have two Charlies?
Abby thought it was weird.
I thought it was weird as hell. I'm like, there's so many names, just make Charles the middle name and then call him something else. Call him Bill. Call him Jack. John. Bill. I don't know.
There's so,
there's also yeah. William. There's also Richard. There's also Josh. There's Leonard, Landon, Mo, Kristen, Bert, and Abby.
So many.
There's so many names to choose from.
All right, so we asked you guys to go online. Yeah. Rebecca, what are the results?
Yep, yesterday I posted a reel of the episode along with a poll, and people had a lot of thoughts.
And she did say she and her husband are both listeners of the show, and he knew she was coming on the air to talk to us about this, and she said regardless of what the results were, because she requested we do this poll, regardless of what the results were, she was going to share them with her husband. It would, I'm not sure, dictate what they do, but might sway what they do.
The options were yes, name the kids the same name, and no, that's weird. And it wasn't close. 83% of people voted no. Do not name your son the same name as your stepson. You freak.
There you go.
You freak.
Common sense is back.
Abby is a person of the people. She knew. Way ahead of this.
Common sense on the Facebook page. This is crazy.
Can you imagine?
This is a wild world we're living in.
All right. So you're seeing this more and more on social media, right? Parents kind of embarrassing their kids on social media, doing it in public. Is it right or is it harmful?
So I'm not a fan of the pranks. I'll say that out the gate. And this is not where I'm going with this. And I'm not a fan of like embarrassing your kids on social media. This is what I feel like is a parental rite of passage. Like embarrassing your kids, say like in public, okay? Mm-hmm. But not to a devastating extent. And that's what I want to ask, because I don't have like actual recollections of what exactly happened, but I do remember my dad liking to embarrass us. Oh, I do have one example. All right. This is a prime example. We were at a University of Kentucky football game. We always sat in the end zone, a.k.a. the fun zone, and that was where our season tickets were. My dad only bought 2 tickets, but he always smuggled one of us in because it was me, my dad, and my brother, because he knew one of the guys that worked the gates. So dad would, we have our heavy coats on, dad would put Budweisers in our pockets inside our coats, and that's how we smuggled the beer in for dad, and we went through a gate where he knew a guy, so we only, my brother and I had to share a seat.
You were a Budweiser mule.
Yes, I was. He liked the Bud heavy. So we would get into the game. We'd sit in the end zone, and this is what we did year after year. Well, the University of Kentucky marching band was also in that section. So they would play, like, the Ric Flair intro music. I'm not sure what that song is, but it's like, duh.
It almost sounds like a graduation
duh,
intro.
Duh, duh.
Like the Space Odyssey thing?
Something like that. And my dad, as he's walking up the stairs, he couldn't walk up the stairs like a normal man. And my brother and I are behind him as, like, you know, like 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and he'd start going down, and then he'd start doing like this stomp up the stairs, and he'd start like crouching down, and then they get done, and he'd go up, and he'd go, woo, and do like this giant Ric Flair woo, right? This is the type of embarrassment I'm talking about here. So is this okay, or is this cause for harm in your child? Because I had a moment out in public where I had an opportunity to embarrass my child by my antics, and I did it. And even as a 3, almost 4-year-old, he's like, Mama, stop, Mama, stop. And you
which just makes you want to do it.
Which
more.
Makes you want to do it. And so just to paint the picture, we were at the Atlanta Botanical Gardens, and we're sitting around the s'mores pit, and there's people there, and the DJ's right up there, and the DJ's playing Journey, Don't Stop Believing. And then it goes into, Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. So Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer starts, and I look at the kids, and I'm like, whoa, we're halfway there. Whoa, living on a prayer. I mean, like, I am singing at the top of my voice in the kids' faces.
And I have seen Jimmy already establish that he does not like when mommy sings at all.
No, he doesn't.
I have seen this.
Yeah, he's not. He actually puts his hand over my mouth and shushes me and tells me to stop. So, are you an a-hole parent for doing that?
Nah.
Or is that just like part of being a parent and part of being a kid?
I think you have to establish early on that this is the kind of thing that is going to happen so they can receive it better. I have one kid that receives it great, and one I will absolutely not do anything with because he will just retreat. So with Hollis, my 17-year-old who used to work at a movie theater, you remember I went in there one day and I went to see him work. And when I walked into the lobby, I'm like, oh my God, it's my son.
Yeah.
He's doing such a great job, man. You're doing a great job checking all those tickets. Totally embarrassed him. He was fine. With Hayden, my introvert, my anime kid, I would never even approach it. That would be devastating for him. Okay. He already has social awkwardness.
Okay.
That would be terrible.
I feel like I have a ton of fond memories of my parents embarrassing me at, like, basketball games and things like that. It doesn't feel traumatic or anything.
Okay.
If anything, it's funny. Like, we always still bring it up and talk about it. So, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I feel like the karma for my parents never really embarrassing me as a child has come back to bite me as an adult, because now it's, like, their Facebook posts that embarrass me. I'm like, we need a software update. We can't say that on the internet anymore.
Hey, Vanessa, good morning.
Good morning. Are you even a parent if you do not sing and dance in front of your kids and their friends?
Yep.
I mean, it's like a rite of passage. I think pretty much everybody has had their parents bust out singing, dancing. When my daughter's friends come over and they're watching TV, I'll just like bust out and dance across the living room all funny just to like, and they look at me like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's
and
a rite of passage.
It just brings me so much joy.
Right? And it brings me joy too. And it's so funny because like you remember as a kid, your parents doing it and you're like, ew, what's wrong with you? But then you become a parent and it's like a switch flips and like you just, you gotta do it, man.
I follow this one dad influencer online that whenever he's going through a drive-thru, he will order in their team speak. and sounds like a complete idiot, and they just melt.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Into the back seat every single time. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I love when our intern Lamario has something to say. So he comes in studio, popping in studio here, all happy to be in here and excited to be in radio. It's a reminder, right? I think you said this last time he left. Mm-hmm. He did his first segment on the show and his feet weren't even hitting the ground as he was floating out of here. He was intoxicated by it.
I love it.
I think anybody that got into radio had that for the very first time. And seeing you that way the last time you were in here was a real reminder, man.
It was. I think we definitely take this for granted on a daily basis after you've been doing it for so long. So it was lovely to have that reminder, Lamario. Thank you.
He came popping in here 3 hours early for a segment today.
They didn't update me. That wasn't my fault now.
With a whole song.
I got a theme song when I come on.
What's your theme song, Lamario? Give it to the people.
Just gotta do a little beat like Lamario on the Burt Show. Lamario on the Burt Show. Then you gotta have different versions of it, like a rock version, rap version. Okay. You gotta be ready.
All right, what brings you in here today, man?
All right, so I'm debating, is there an age limit to have kids? Like, am I too old to have kids? Uh-huh. Or am I getting there?
How old are you? 65, 70?
34.
Okay. Oh, for a man. White. Thanks to biology, there is no age limit.
Right.
But if you're a woman, you're going to have a different answer on that question.
Which got you thinking about this now?
So I've been getting all type of influence from my mom, my sister, cousins, friends. They're like, when you gonna have kids?
That's about not influence, that time. Friend. That's pressure.
Pressure. But yeah, just keep getting it from every angle, especially like my mom and my sister. They are on my case about this. Like, you gotta have some kids. We want nieces and nephews. We want to be a grandma, like all that. And I'm just like, I don't know, guys. I don't know.
Are you the oldest?
Yes, I am the oldest. Getting it.
Has it, and how many other siblings do you have?
One.
And she hasn't had a kid yet?
Mm-mm, she's 4 years younger than me.
Okay. So I don't even think the real question here is how old are you to have kids? I think the real thing to focus on is it's never a good time to have kids when the only reason is because you're getting pressure.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like as the oldest in my family, I've gone through this a lot, especially being the only guy and the oldest, but yeah, I'm with Burt, man. You got to have kids when it's right for you. Like, I've had to have that conversation with my family. Unless y'all going to take care of the kid every day, like not just babysitting, and you have no say in when I bring kids into this world. You got to do it when it's right for you.
True enough.
I've never really understood the pressure, especially from parents who know what it's like to raise a kid. I'm like, do you remember the trenches that we were in for 18 years? I'm like, we hated each other. I'm like, you want me to go through that now? I've never understood why people are so like, you got to have kids, you got to have kids. When it's really like a personal responsibility that you got to think about and you got to be ready for. So I think the question isn't necessarily like, am I too old to have kids? I think the question you should be asking yourself is, am I in a place where if I brought life into the world, would I be ready for it?
Something else to think about too is like parents do that, and like especially even your own parents. It's funny how the mind works. You forget the bad things and you remember the good things,
right.
And you convince yourself to do this. Now, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I was 36, 37 when I started trying to have kids. All right. And I'm just going to be completely transparent if it's something you're really thinking about.
Okay.
So I was 36, 37. Granted, I'm a woman, so it's a little different, but my husband and I ended up incurring some fertility issues. And so I didn't have my first kid until I was in my 40s. There are pros and cons to having kids when you're older. Now, if having kids is definitely on your, like, this is something you want to do and you want to have a family. I'm just letting you know, the older you get, the less energy you have, and the more these kids suck it from you.
Exactly. I'm telling them, like, I don't want to waste my prime years, man.
I have the resources. Like, financially, I'm in a better place. But I will tell you, my husband and I, when you have a kid in your 40s, it takes a toll on your physical being. Like, okay. it like, and that's no joke. So whether you like it or not, that's something to take into consideration. But if you're on the fence about having kids, I agree with everybody in here. Don't let anybody dictate when you should or should have, when you should or shouldn't have kids. Just let how good your knees are tell you when you should or should not have kids.
Does your mom even care who the woman is, or she just wants a warm infant?
She just wants to be a grandma. Like, she just wants those memories and wants to create and have those, like, memories that she can just take on forever, and it's just too much.
All right, so if you went to your mom next week, hypothetically, right, mm-hmm. and you said, Mom, I just want to let you know, I hooked up with this girl a couple of months ago. She just hit me back up. She told me she was pregnant, okay? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being ecstatic and 1 being disappointed. She's never met this yet. This is a one-night stand for you. How excited would she be?
She would have the same exact feeling I had when I walked out of that door for my first segment.
She'd be walking
her feet
on
would be off of the ground.
She wouldn't even she care. It's a one-night stand. A baby is a baby.
She wouldn't care. She'd be all for it. She would be at Toys R Us and at Babies R Us before I finished the statement, getting different size clothes and bassinets and everything she could possibly find.
She got grandma fever bad.
She just was like,
bad.
This is how you stop it. If you really want, if you want it to stop, this is how you stop it.
Okay, I'm listening.
I went to my family one day, and I said, every time I come home, y'all ask me, when am I going to have a girlfriend? When am I going to get married? When am I going to have kids? Why don't y'all ever ask me if I'm happy?
Oh!
They never ask me.
Oh, solid.
That's it. That's the mic drop.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
I truly thought I would never see the day when it came to this particular celebrity. There is a pattern that this celebrity has engaged in for the last couple of decades since he's been in the public eye. And I think to some people, it was getting a little concerning. But I'm here to bring the news to you that Leonardo DiCaprio is dating a woman who is over the age of 25. Hell hath frozen over. Leonardo DiCaprio has a somewhat more age-appropriate girlfriend.
She's in her 30s?
No, she's 26.
Oh, my 26, God. Okay.
And how old is he again? He's 50 now, right?
He's 50. And this is just a typical cycle people have seen with Leonardo DiCaprio. Once his girlfriend's turned 25, he kicks him to the curb. But his friends apparently are spreading rumors that this is actually a relationship unlike any other, and that he is actually whipped.
Yeah, she's
in this
got a
relationship.
She's got a fully developed frontal lobe. That's
I know.
Why.
So the source has said that no one has seen Leo this in love or devoted to a woman really ever. His loyalty is usually to his boys, but ... She's become the priority over his time with his guy friends. He still hangs out with them, but Vittoria, his girlfriend's name, is usually included. And if she's not, it's because she's off working somewhere out of town. Leo's friends are allegedly finding this a tough pill to swallow, but he doesn't care. He's even talking about her moving in with him.
Let's see what happens at the first sign of cellulite.
See how long she lasts.
We'll see if he sticks around or not.
No, you guys will be shocked to hear this. She's an Italian model.
Oh, no way. He's going out with a model?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You ever notice that from time to time he dates models?
Yeah. Now that you bring it up, I am noticing this, but I feel like when you're an Italian model, you get like 5 years deducted off your age. So she's 26, but she's an Italian model. So she's an American normie 21. So I decided to do a little bit of research because I'm like, is this the biggest age gap in Hollywood? I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio can't have the only consistent pattern of consistently dating younger women.
But there's way more than that, right?
Way more. So here are some of the biggest age gaps in Hollywood right now. So we have Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. They have a 25-year age gap. Then there's Jeff Goldblum and Emily Livingston. They have a 30-year age gap. Jeff Goldblum is 67. I don't know why I was shocked to know that. To me, he looks so like young and vibrant, like he's almost 70. Then there's Sarah Paulson and Holland Taylor. They have a 31-year age gap. Catherine McPhee from American Idol and her husband, David Foster, 34 years. Billy Joel and his wife, 33 years. And this might be the original Leonardo DiCaprio. So Dennis Quaid, I didn't know he got on like this. His wife
They have an age gap of 39 years.
Damn.
She was a PhD candidate when they met, and his girlfriend bought before her was actually 32 years his junior. So a little bit of a pattern from Dennis.
What would you guys say? All right, let's just put like, so God forbid, Bart and I get a divorce. I come in here, one of my personal stories, and I'm dating an 80-year-old man.
I say, bring him in.
Do you?
We'll talk to him every day. You haven't even talked about the oldest one, the biggest gap.
What's the biggest age gap?
Bill Belichick.
Oh, I forgot. How could I forget? They're still dating?
Bill Belichick, they're still dating. Who is 72 years old. He used to be the head coach of the New England Patriots. His girlfriend is 24, a 48-year-old age difference.
What I would do to be a fly on the wall during one of the... What do they talk about?
Come on.
What do they talk about?
At 48 years old, your significant other has not been born yet.
Oh,
the thought
damn.
Of that is,
that's right.
That's insane.
Hey, your next girlfriend could be getting born today.
Yeah.
Sorry, Amanda. For more stories, head to the Bert Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Bert Show.
Just broke up with her because he found out that he had cancer, and he's like, you know what? I want to do this alone. And she is devastated by it also. So this is not going to be real fun, but it could be helpful maybe. If you have gone through a battle with cancer or you're going through a battle with cancer, maybe you can give some insight here. And I'll give the phone number out also, 1-855-BERT-SHOW, to a friend of mine who's in, I think she's in her like late 30s, early 40s. Been going out with the dude for close to a year now. I mean, they're exchanging the L word and everything. They haven't moved in with each other yet, but they certainly have been talking about it and talking about a future. Well, dude just found out, and I think he's 40, 41 years old, that he has a battle with testicular cancer ahead of him. So I don't know if he's in panic mode. I don't know all the details. I'm not there, and they're not even near me. But he, for the most part, just said, look, I want to do this thing alone. I don't want to be a burden to you. I'm going to handle this on my own. So you and I, he didn't even say put it on pause. He's like, we're done. We're done while I focus on this.
That had to have been just a knee-jerk reaction to the news.
That I don't know. And this was a couple of weeks ago, and they have not spoken. She's tried to explain to him, you know, like, mm-hmm. I want to be there for you. I love you.
Yeah.
These are the things that we're going to have to go through together. You know, we've been talking about a future together. It's not all going to be great. So here you are going through this, and I want to be there for you. No, absolutely not. Sorry, I'm doing this myself. I'm going through it alone. I'm doing it. Please don't call. Please don't text. I'm on my own on this one.
I mean,
so is there anything she can say, or is Kristen right? This is a knee-jerk reaction. He's still, even weeks later, going through and trying to process all of this, and he's just panicking now.
Yeah, I mean, I think having the limited amount of information that we do, people handle trauma their own unique way, and maybe the way he's handling this trauma of finding out he has cancer, and maybe this is how he handles other things in life, is that he isolates and he doesn't want anybody around, mm-hmm. and he wants to do this alone. And you can't fault somebody for feeling that way. I mean, he's entitled to that. I mean, he is the one going through it. I would just hate for him to push somebody away that could potentially be really good support for him.
I would understand more if this wasn't such a serious relationship, because they've been together for a year. They clearly have so much love for each other and have, you know, had this commitment for a while that I can't imagine I can't fully experience in my head what that must have been like to get that kind of diagnosis and to make a judgment about how I would have responded, because I don't know, because I haven't been in that situation. But I can't imagine in any scenario where you get that kind of life-altering news where it's beneficial to isolate yourself and push the people that love and care about you away. So I'm hoping it's just a knee-jerk reaction in this scenario, because I think that's really heartbreaking for her to A, get the news, but then to B, lose him in her life. So I hope that he is able to accept the support that I can sense that she probably wants to give him.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like obviously news like this is life-altering, so someone's going to have to process it, and you don't never know how they need to process it. They got to do it whatever way they have to do it. If I'm on the other end of it, I would just try to find the balance of giving them their space but being consistent. I feel like if the message is consistent in that I'm going to be here and I'm not going anywhere and you don't have to do this alone, mm-hmm. then maybe eventually they would allow that to be a thing.
I think I've told you guys before, when I get sick, I don't want anybody around. I just want to handle it myself. I don't want to complain. I don't want to be a burden. But as I've gotten older, and I was thinking about this question myself, this guy might have been me 10 years ago, but now, because I found a man, she'd be the only one that I would want around.
Mm.
That make any sense?
Absolutely. Sense. And that's how it's supposed to be.
Hey, Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Bert Show. How are y'all?
Good, thank you.
I love y'all. I just want to say that first.
Well,
I
thank
love
you.
Y'all so much.
That's, love you, too.
That's a nice way to start a conversation. So what kind of advice can you give here? I mean, he's broken up with her. He's got cancer now, and he's like, I'm doing this alone.
Yeah, so I, last year, 2023, was diagnosed with 3 cancers at one time. Huh. And I was in a relationship with the guy that I was with for almost 2 years. And when I got the news, my reaction to him was, yeah, this is going to be a tough journey. I think I'm giving you the ability to be able to bail if you like. And, of course, he was like, what are you talking about? I'm not bailing. I'm going to be right there with you. But I can say that initially, yeah, I really didn't want anybody with me. Like, I knew it was going to be a hard road. And just for the support, that's great. But just the relationship portion of it is going to be hard as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally get his point of view, because it's, like I said, the relationship portion, not just me dealing with cancer, just having to be able to still maintain the relationship and the physical part of the relationship, that was tough. So I totally get where he's coming from, but I would, if I was her, I would just be patient, and he may come around. He may come back around.
So that's what I was going to ask you, Michelle. As her, should she, you know, honor his wishes of wanting to be alone, or should she continue to fight to be there by his side?
I would honor his wishes just until the sting is gone.
Okay.
Because when you get news like that,
yeah.
and it comes out of nowhere, like my news came out of absolute nowhere. One week I was in Vegas having a good time with Usher. 2 weeks later, I was about to have serious surgery. So it's a huge thing to get that type of news, and you need time to be able to process it. So I would give him a little bit of time, but like y'all said, be consistent and just, you know, reach out every now and then. Hey, I'm here if you need me. And I'm sure he'll come around. He's gonna need her.
Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate your call. Thank you. Reagan, good morning. You're on the Bert Show. Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you. You got some advice here?
I do. So I actually lived through a very similar situation. At the time, I was dating my now husband. He got diagnosed with testicular cancer as well, and pulled a very similar act and gave me an out and was like, listen, I don't want to burden you. This is not your responsibility. And we got the news right before Christmas, and I didn't know that he was planning to propose. So he actually followed through with the proposal. But even when he was down on one knee, he gave me an out again and was like, listen, again, I just want you to know you don't have to do this. I don't want you to feel like you're stuck with me. And, of course, I said yes. He has now been through 2 different testicular cancer diagnoses. Still kicking. We're still going strong. So
good for you.
All I can say is, you know, be there for him in a way that feels right to her. Be true to who she is. And he'll eventually come around and realize that, you know, it is a tough battle to do alone. I can promise you that. But it's also going to take a toll on her mentally, physically, and emotionally. So to have someone there to support you, even if it's just to help with stuff around the house and things like that. But she does need to understand that his body and things are going to go through a lot of changes that he can't control and that he's not going to be able to process in, you know, a normal way. It is a traumatic experience. So,
sure.
Just, you know, be patient, be there for him, and just let him know that you're there when he needs you. He will eventually tap her.
Reagan, I don't even like the position he put you in. There he is on one knee. He's got this big shiny diamond in front of you, and he's like, you can have this. But but you're going to have to go through this whole cancer thing with me.
Yes.
I'm glad you stuck with it.
Sorry, out of here.
It's a Bird Show.
Hey, the Bird Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
We call it Follow-Up Thursday for a reason. We got storylines that are just hanging there for you guys, and you remind us, and you're like, yo, Bird Show, whatever happened to blankety blank blank? And now we go back to Halloween.
Yes, Halloween of last year. After finding a sketchy text in a suspicious location in her boyfriend's GPS history, our listener decided she wanted to go undercover to spy on her boyfriend during Halloween. She and her bestie created plans to show up to a bar her boyfriend has never mentioned or taken her to in the ghost face costumes, which I believe that's the bad guy, the villain from Scream, right? She spotted him at the bar, clearly flirting with the bartender all night long, avoiding hanging out with his own friends. The night took a turn when our listener ended up sick in the bathroom. And who came to help? I forgot about this part. The same bartender, bringing water and being super nice. At the end of the night, our listener texted her boyfriend goodnight from her friend's place where she's supposedly out of town, and he didn't respond till morning. She was stuck trying to figure out how to confront him about everything without sounding wild for the whole undercover mission. So we need answers. Did she ever confront him?
Hi, Bird Show. I confronted my boyfriend the day we got off the phone. I really thought if I hinted that I knew he had done something wrong, that he would feel guilty and spill his guts. I point blank asked him if there was anything he wanted to tell me, and he said no and acted really confused. So I got more specific. I asked him if he did anything on Halloween night that he knew would bother me. He said no and then asked me if I had done anything on Halloween that he wouldn't like. I kind of stuttered on my words because I wasn't expecting him to turn it on me like that. He jumped on that and claimed that I was clearly projecting. I lost my cool and I told him I knew he was flirting with another woman all Halloween night. He called me crazy and literally asked me if I was okay. That's when I absolutely lost it. I told him to wait there and stomped off. I put on the Scream costume I had worn to spy on him, mask and all, and walked back into the room. I know this sounds crazy, but my idea was that this would be a big reveal and he would realize that I had literally been standing next to him Halloween night while he flirted with another woman. That's not how he took it. He actually screamed like a little girl. I think he thought I was going to murder him. I accidentally freaked him out. I ripped the mask off and confessed that I had been there the entire night. I told him flirting was one thing, but gaslighting was the nail in the coffin. We were over. And between you and me, hearing him scream like that gave me the ick, and I didn't know if I would be able to get past that. So, yeah, we're over. It's been a while, and I'm not really mad about it. I'm not sure if that's the update you were looking for, but it's the one I got. Thanks so much, Emma.
I'm not sure if I said this at the time, but I probably did. But if you're at a point in your relationship where you're dressing up in a disguise and you are spying on your boyfriend who may or may not be flirting, your relationship is over already.
There is no getting past that. And there is no getting past the little girl scream, because that would just replay in my head anytime I saw him. And yeah, it would be over.
The scream was the cherry on top.
That was it. She was looking for a reason. Mm-hmm. All right, so yesterday I presented you guys with quite a problem, especially for Gen Zers, because a lot of bosses now are like, you know what I would rather have? I would rather have solid AI than a Gen Zer in this office. So if that's the trend that the country is going, can you get more productivity in all areas out of AI rather than a Gen Zer? Rebecca wants to test that today.
I thought I was safe as a millennial. 94 babies, stand up. Woo. So
it's just you.
Yeah, I'm not so sure anymore, because yeah, I had the bright idea to take that theory and see if it would work in practicality with the Bert Show and me being the social media producer.
There were a couple of statistics we rattled off yesterday that were really scary if you're between these ages. What? It started in
97 is the oldest for Gen Z, and then it goes until Gen Alpha.
And these bosses are like, you know what? AI doesn't complain. It doesn't cost me any money. It doesn't have any mental health issues. So yeah, I'm going to go with AI. But are you getting the same productivity?
Well, I'm lazy. I'm mentally ill. Like, the list goes on. And
those are all adorable things about you.
I know. It's my cute little quirks. But I'm not stupid. I know social media marketing. That's one of the first ones to go. So you guys know I write the titles and the descriptions for each podcast segment that goes up on The Burt Show. Mm-hmm. So I asked ChatGPT to do the same exact thing. I prompted the AI with a little description of the episode to see if it would come up with a more engaging podcast description.
Well, this is interesting. Okay.
This is also like the art of the tease as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're also, if these results are bad, just talk yourself right out of a job.
I know. I really wasn't thinking about it that hard.
Should have thought this one through.
Uh-huh. So I pulled a random selection of previous episodes from the last month. I emailed them to Kristen. Mm-hmm. On the document I sent you is a very, very quick summary of the episodes, the podcast description I wrote, and then the one ChatGPT wrote. They're randomized, so you're not going to know which one is which.
Okay.
But I want you guys to tell me which one you would rather click on.
Okay.
All right. So here is the first episode. This is the episode Bert buys a step stool for his dog. The first description. Against his better judgment and bank account, Bert bought a step stool for his dog, officially surrendering his bed and his dignity to the four-legged tyrant.
It's a little long, okay?
This is the next description. Bert just went against one of his major principles to make someone else in his house happy. Was it a mistake?
Second one is better.
Second one by far.
The second one's better, and I think it's Rebecca. The second one is better, and I think it's Rebecca, too.
Okay. I really thought you guys were going to pick ChatGPT
It told you too much, and it was too descriptive. Yeah.
Instead of the 80-20 rule, it was more like the 99-1 rule. All right. Here is your next one. So the episode was a woman asked us to do War of the Roses to catch her boyfriend with his hairstylist. Here's the first description. She suspected her boyfriend was getting a little too friendly with his new hairstylist. So she asked us to put him to the ultimate loyalty test, War of the Roses. Will he stay sharp and faithful, or is he about to get a trim he won't forget?
Ooh.
Next one. He's getting a little too cozy with his hairstylist. So his girlfriend asked us to test him with a round of War of the Roses. Is it time to cut him off? Which one are you clicking on?
I almost feel like the first one was good. It was just long.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go with the first one.
They both feel very equal to me. Like, I feel like they say the same thing, just different. So I'm gonna go with the second one because it's more concise.
I'll go with the first one.
I'm gonna go with the second one.
Oh, a tie?
Yeah.
Well, beep boop. I'm Rebecca, the second one.
Okay.
So the first one was AI. The second one was you.
Yeah.
Isn't there a word limit on it, though?
So I prompted it to, based on how many sentences I had in my tease, I told it to only use that many sentences.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Here's your next episode. And this one was about Katie sharing her friend's story of how being a mortician is hurting her love life. Y'all remember that one from the podcast. All right. Here's the first one. She's used to dealing with cadavers, but can't handle the men who ghost her as soon as they hear she does this. Should she change her job before her love life passes away? Your next podcast description. Dating is hard enough, especially when you're dealing with the living rejecting you. Ouch. What do you think? Is this a job? Is this job a red flag?
You didn't write that. The first one is you.
The first one has to be you.
First one.
Yep, that's me. Point human.
All right, next one. This is from Abby's first ye old gossip. The first description. The founding fathers might have built a nation, but they also spilled tea. Remember Boston? Abby breaks down the eyebrow-raising moments from early America.
I like that one.
Next one is, history is so boring, ... or is it? Abby breaks down some real-life hot goss from the OG Real Housewives of America, the founding fathers.
I can't see ChatGPT saying goss for some reason.
I think you wrote the second one. But they're, I mean, I would click on either one.
Mm-hmm.
They're both good. The second one, I'd give the nudge to.
Okay. Yeah, the second one I think is Rebecca.
Hey, I was going to go with the first. The second one is you, but I think the first one's better.
Oh, no. Okay, well, it's kind of a draw. So please don't fire me.
Our follow-up segment tomorrow, does Rebecca still have a job?
It's the Burt Show.
Hey, the Burt Show.
Moto Casino.
America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.